And now for something completely different.
Welcome to Shout Out. Out of the closet and into your ears.
Hello and a very warm welcome to Shout Out. I'm Andy Shilton.
And I'm Lauren Alamy.
Victoria Woods was one of our best ever comedians. And today, Steph talks to the sellout touring tribute show, Looking for me friend.
And are you a whimsical serial dater? Well, we talked to Lewis Bear Brown, who's playing exactly that in a new musical, Love Quirks.
All that and more coming today, right here on Shout Out. Yeah, well, that'll teach you for typing on your phone.
I was Instagramming me. I was literally like, oh, I'm putting me Andy
no,
on
I'm,
it.
I'm sorry, we can't have that. You're not here often enough.
Ba-dum-dum. Ba-dum-dum-dum-dum. There you go. I missed my roll call, everyone. I'm so sorry. Don't get your pitchforks out yet.
Hello, Laura. How are you?
Hello.
I haven't seen you in a while.
I know.
It's so busy.
I like to create this like aura of like you miss me, and then I come back.
We always miss you.
Exactly.
So, it's not very often these days Tara comes to there either. I've got both of you.
More background though, it is.
So, well, it's because Tara's always like doing bits and bobs.
I don't know which one he's on. I think if I'm right, Terry should be there as well.
Hello, there he is.
How are you? I love your voice. I miss your voice.
Thank you. I'm all right. Thank you very much.
From the basement that is his understairs.
The basement. Yeah. Who's keeping you there, Terry?
Well, it's usually some Tom Daly or something.
Isn't it?
I would stay in a basement for Tom Daly if I swung that way too.
Absolutely.
As long as it's not like wall to wall Tom Daly, you know, you've got to have a bit of variety up in there. But yeah, no, I definitely would.
He's doing loads of knitting these days, isn't he, Tom Daly? I keep getting lots of things on Facebook like
crochet.
Yeah.
Well, crochet thing.
Is it crochet?
Knitting.
It does do knitting.
Yeah, it's knitting.
I love how Terry knows. No, actually, I think you're fine.
It's because you sat there with Terry.
No, he's tied up with Terry. He's like,
with wool.
Tom,
with knitting.
Literally. We're here for you, Tom. Don't worry. So how's your week been, Andy?
Good. I'm on holiday next week. I'm going off to Gay Paris.
Gay Paris.
Okay.
Do you know what? Okay, so I went to Paris this year and I really thought that they were going to be rude and mean. They were actually really lovely. Like, I've met
It's quite a myth. It dates back to like 60s, 70s
really
type time that they were.
There are some that tut at you because obviously I'm gorgeous. How can they not tut?
They appreciate it if you try and speak some French.
Do you know what they said?
They're very keen on their language.
They said I had a good accent.
Oh,
yeah,
I didn't know you spoke French.
I don't, je suis désolée. I only speak petit pois, like, you know, a little bit of French.
You only speak peas.
Yeah, I only know. No, they don't know what that is. I was about to call you to a mignon.
I think you meant petit pois, but never
mind. See, there you go. I forget he actually speaks French. Yeah. I can't pull the wool over his eyes.
Even for work.
I know. I was going to say the other thing, but I can't because we're live on
air. This will be my fourth time this year going to France. Unfortunately, the rest was not, it was all for work. I was out there when it was 40 degrees. That was not fun.
That sounds disgusting.
It was not fun at all. I didn't know
it could get that hot in Paris. Like, it's only a little bit further down than us.
Is it not waking up again now? Because they close for August, don't they?
That's more Spain rather than France. Yeah, I mean, Paris is pretty much go full the time. Whole time, yeah.
And no, of course, a lot of Parisians apparently move, like, go...
Well, they may too, but of course, it's a huge, great tourist destination, isn't it? So it's...
So my friend actually went in last month, and they're like, there was nowhere really open and no one really there because it was so hot at that time.
I know if you live in Madrid, they all shut for August.
Why can't we do that?
What, shut for August?
Yeah, well, like when it's raining, it's like, no, this is our rainy month. Or January. It's
so
like,
the
this
last
is our
couple
rainy
of
month.
Days, my God, it's downpoured.
It has, but the plants needed it.
Oh, yes. Our grass is going
just
green again.
A little bit late for the farmers, unfortunately.
Yeah.
How is it?
Yeah. Means rising prices later.
Yeah. Food prices will go up. Yeah.
Really? Because we have to import.
Yeah, well, we can't grow it here.
Yeah.
Damn. I kind of like the weather though. It's been really lush. Like I've had such a hot girl summer, Andy.
It's the hottest summer on record, I reckon.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
Yeah, 1.5 degrees higher than the average.
Because is it 1976 held the record before that? That's always held up as one of the ones that's like
everyone talks about. 76. Yeah.
76.
Those that lived through it, anyway.
Not. I mean, you weren't even a twinkle in anyone's eye.
No, I was. I wasn't.
I wasn't.
It was. Well, I was an egg, but I wasn't. I wasn't. You know, there was no semblance of me, for sure.
So anyway, we've got some fun stuff coming up in the show today.
Were you a fan
of Victoria Wood?
Yeah, actually, I was.
I loved her in things like Dinner Ladies and
and
the like. Well, she wrote as well. But her stage show was brilliant.
Piano?
Too. She was a pianist.
Yeah. Yes. Kind of would talk.
She sadly passed away, didn't she? I think she had cancer.
She?
Yeah. Quite a few years ago now.
Yeah, okay, fine.
2016 she died.
Yeah, but
Terry, that recall was next to none.
Steph's been talking to a guy called Paulus, who is running a kind of like tribute type show that's touring at the moment. It's quite well acclaimed. I saw some of the clips online. It looks very funny. So
let's go watch it all together.
We could do it if you like.
Yeah, family trip out.
Yeah.
Let's go.
So, would you want to hear more about it?
Oh, yes, yeah? Please.
Okay.
Victoria Wood. We all know and love Victoria Wood. So Looking for Me Friend, the music of Victoria Wood, is returning for another hilarious and heartfelt tour. Homage to the late national treasure, the hysterical music comedy invites devoted fans and those less familiar to relive Wood's fantastic comedy and beloved music. I'm joined by Paulus. Welcome to the show, Paulus. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm good, my love, good. Right, before we get into Victoria Wood bit and what you're actually doing now, how did you get to this point from growing up as a kid?
Well, I suppose the arts was a place where I was accepted. So I grew up in Kent in the 80s, and I was very sort of flamboyant. I like to sing. My mother, actually, this is absolutely true. I'm not trying to quote ABBA. My mother says I sang before I spoke. And apparently I just used to make this sort of tunes, like rocking back and forward going, that. So I remember her telling me that a very long time ago. The theatre world was a place where I was certainly embraced, whereas other places like the football pitch and the playground, I certainly wasn't. And I think that's probably quite a common story for people like me who have just turned 50 growing up in the UK. So, yeah, in many senses, the arts and community theatre, amateur theatre really saved me when I was young.
Yeah, like you say, a lot of people have found that, where they found safe haven in the arts, if movie, theatre, dance. And the thing is, doesn't that prove that the LGBTQ community got a load of talent?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, I think talented or not, what it gives you is a chance. It gives you opportunity. And then, whether it be, a birth given talent or skills that you improve upon over time, at least there's a door that's open to you. And at least there are people in that room saying, go on, give it a try, and encouraging you. And like I say, I know there'll be people around my age this resonates with. And it might not that they be the arts that they went into. Maybe they found another walk of life with a similarly warm welcome, you know?
Mm, yeah. So tell us a bit about the production now. What made you do this? Did it just spring into your mind one day and thought, I'm really going to have a go at this?
You know, somebody said to me about 3 years into this very, very long running tour, somebody said to me, you do know that Victoria Wood never sang 21 of her own songs in one night, don't you? And I was like, oh yeah, why am I doing this? So when you just said, why did you do this? So you reminded me of that conversation. When she died, and it's nearly 10 years, you know, next spring will be the 10th anniversary of her passing. But in 2016, after she died, I met up with Michael Rulston, my piano player in the show, And we were talking about how, for us, Michael's a couple of years older than me, but, you know, gay guys growing up in England in the 80s and 90s, her language, her sketches, her songs, the musicality of her phrasing, and just her catchphrases, I think they became like a modern Polari for our generation in the 80s and the 90s. Because if you're at a party and you're a bit scared and you don't really know whether you're welcome and you're feeling a bit othered, if you hear somebody across the room shout, "Red cabbage, how much?" and you know what the answer is, then you've just found a friend for life, if not a shag. You know, you've found a mate, because comedy is... That's how we find our people often, isn't it? That's how we found our tribes, by having a shared sense of humour. And in Victoria's case, a sense of the balmy. You know, a lot of her jokes are utterly ludicrous, peppered in between these such well-observed or politically, you know, bitingly satirical things. There's just some stuff that's just balmy, just like the name of one of her books.
Indeed, indeed. Can you tell us a little bit about the production itself without giving too much away, obviously?
Oh, yeah, it's just two gay guys doing very bad accents. That's all it is.
Okay, interview ended.
Yeah, so I'll see you there. See you at the theatre. So I don't play Victoria Wood. No one is impersonating her. How could you even consider that as an idea, right? I say at the beginning of the show, Michael and I are here to prove once again that it takes two men to do the job of one woman, half as well. Because, you know, the reason I do that at the beginning of the show is because I know that there'll be people, huge fans like myself in the audience, going, who the hell do they think they are? You know, who is this person that thinks they can take this on? And I understand that. If I saw this show advertised, I would be like, how very dare they? So I want to make clear to people that I know that we won't even get close to her genius ever. And it takes at least two of us to try and do it half as well, as I say. But we are celebrating the music predominantly. We do 21 of her songs in a whistle-stop tour of about an hour and a half. Lots of your listeners might know Michael from him touring with Fascinating Aida in the last 4 or 5 years. I'm very proud to be sharing him with the girls, who are now my friends too. And he's been playing the piano for me for about 27, 28 years, and Victoria's songs were probably one of the first that he played for me. In between the songs, we play a game of sort of Victoria Wood catchphrase tennis, where he's Julie to my Victoria, and the bon mots and the punchlines fly across the room for the whole evening. And sometimes the audience throw them there before one of us gets to answer.
Okay, so where can people find this extravaganza?
Oh, well, we're going to be doing 15 tour dates this autumn, from September the 6th in Norwich, and we go to Newcastle and Scarborough, and we're pinging around all over the place. And we're touring next spring as well, which will be indeed the 10th anniversary of her passing. So I guess people have got somewhere between... 30 and 40 more dates before we finish, finally hang up our beret after 5.5 years.
Wow. Wow. So how do people get tickets? Is there a central website where they can look at where you are actually performing? I guess they can get tickets from those venues once they find out where you are.
Yeah, absolutely. So lookingformifriend.com. Has listings and links to all of the ticket websites for all of the different theatres, but they're all in one place. And if a show isn't on sale yet, perhaps it's for next spring or whatever, we have a thing on there where you can ask to be notified when it does go on sale, and we message people and say, it's on sale now, go rush for your ticket. So that's the best place to go, lookingformifriend.com, or you can find me on any socials as The Cabaret Geek.
Ah, okay. Okay. Now, before we leave you, you must be thinking about what you're going to be up to next after this ends. Can you share anything with us?
Yes, I can. Tomorrow I will be working on the third draft of the script for the sequel to Looking for My Friend. It will be more Victoria. Because, you know, there are 400 songs registered with PRS by Victoria Wood, all completely alone, no co-writer on any of them. And we've only touched on 20. So I think it's time that we shared some more, right? So that's the plan, is that in Edinburgh this time next year, August next year, we'll be premiering the sequel, title to be confirmed.
Wow, you're going to be going for some time. 400.
I've got a house full of merchandise here. And until these tea towels are sold, I am singing Victoria Wood songs. This is basically the situation.
Right, okay, let's try and shift some tea towels. People get those tea towels from the website?
They can indeed, yeah. We have badges that say two soups on and key rings that say orgasm, I haven't blown my nose since Wednesday, which is a line from Dinner Ladies. Yeah, and the tea towel, do you know, Steffi, the tea towel is a sort of word cloud design with Victoria's best loved, most used words and phrases like pack-a-mac and Pam Ayres and poncho and two soups all created into a word cloud. And we're really proud. Berry Art Museum, Berry, where she grew up, they have taken the tea towel as part of their Victoria Wood collection.
Wow.
Isn't that wonderful? Well,
it absolutely is.
I never thought I'd end up in a museum, but apparently my work.
Right. So everyone knows where to go and get tickets. Everyone needs a tea towel, always, even if you're buying a gift. Christmas is coming up. Yes, I've said the C word. Get a tea towel for all your friends. Get onto that website. Paula, thank you for joining us. And I hope you come back on to tell us how you've been doing and for part deux.
Oh, it would be my pleasure. Thanks for talking with me, Steffi.
Thank you, Paula. So have a good one, my love.
Take care.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
A lovely Chapel Rowan. Did you see her performance at the Reading Festival?
Did you see the fact that she said shout out to my ex who's in the crowd?
Yes.
At the moment. I was like, oh! Do you know what? I hate the fact I'm never going to get that moment. It's not like I'm standing up giving an academic talk being like, shout out to the ex that's in the crowd. This one's for you.
Is that because you're never going to have an ex, so you're always going to hate them? Or
I mean, I have exes, you know what I mean? But I'd like to have more of them. Well, no, I wouldn't. I'd like to have a wife right now, to be honest. But like, no, because I just imagine an academic talk. By the way, my ex is in the crowd and like, you know, shout out to you, Salmonella or something like that. Like,
Salmonella?
We'll talk about science, you know what I mean? Like, you know, association with something that like clearly should be got rid of. So yeah, like, I don't know. Like, I just, it's never could be me, unfortunately. No.
But did you see the performance though?
No, I didn't.
I watched
good.
It on TV. It was absolutely phenomenal. Amazing, really, really gothic set, and all of the band were all female.
Did you hear about the theories that Chapel Rowan's been around for quite a long time?
As soon as she
dyed her hair red, blew up. It's like the same as Sabrina Carpenter. Sabrina Carpenter changed her hair blonde, cute. Now look at her.
Yeah,
it's the hair theory. Hair like thing. As soon as you change your hair, you suddenly become.
I've just noticed you're kind of like move.
Took your time, didn't you?
So, well, it's normally really bright, whereas that blends in a bit more.
Yeah, it's proper purple. Everyone is purple. I've got purple hair because I'm a purple girl. Yeah. And
I've seen you with blue and green and rainbow.
Lots of different kinds.
We always actually take bets on what colour it's going to be for Pride, don't we?
You do. Yeah. But the thing is, I've actually gone, like, I think in the past few Prides, I've just been black, haven't I? Well, I've been black and I've had hair black hair. I mean, that's never going to change, ladies and gentlemen. But like,
I think we miss you at Pride this year, didn't we?
You did. Yeah. I hope you guys noticed that I wasn't there.
Yeah, it's quieter.
I hope you can see my face. It's very disapproving. So
you did miss a lot of very good artists. Ultranata is a big favourite of mine. it was advertised a year beforehand. It was you that chose not to go.
No, it wasn't me that chose not to go. It was my inability to connect dots and dates.
Right. So it wasn't you, it was your inability.
No, I was in Paris.
You're in Paris.
Having
very
a very
nice.
Gay old weekend.
Very nice.
Mm-hmm. So we need to chuck in the daily now for next year.
Yeah, 100%. That weekend's barred.
Yeah. Mm? So like the 12th of July or something, isn't it?
Yeah, it's on the calendar.
It's on the same weekend every year.
Oh, really? And you can't join the dots? You are funny.
The savagery. Terry, can you save me and take the news? Because I'm getting battered here. Absolutely battered.
So I don't think they've announced anything for next year. Yeah, I don't think.
Why would they? Well, they're not Speedy Gonzales. Like, yeah.
They will have an idea. I mean, they're working on like next year and the year after.
Oh, they know.
You talk to the team. That's how far ahead they're going.
Oh, well, you have to, don't you?
So they're a bit concerned because it is the biggest it can be on the Downs.
Is it?
It's starting to hit capacity.
Is it? Mm,
yeah.
What, 40,000? Are you sure? Because the Downs is
no. But if you go bigger, you have to pay more.
But not only that, where they are, there's actually football pitches.
And they
won't let them go on the football pitches because they're maintained, obviously.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Well, do they want it to get bigger?
Well, I think everyone would like more people to enjoy Pride, wouldn't they?
True, but, I guess instead of making that bigger, we could support more local events, like offshoot events.
I don't think they necessarily have a choice as to how many people turn up, because they turn up.
No, exactly.
I mean, I remember when it was 4,000 people.
Yeah, exactly. Look at it now.
Huge.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Nice
and big. And we all got lovely showers of confetti this year because the wind was blowing that way. Yeah. They let the cannons off. It blew backstage
this time. My
daughter had it in a blanket, and then I proceeded to open the blanket a few weeks later in my room. It was like everywhere.
Oh, no. That she did it on purpose.
Yeah, she did.
The savagery of your daughter.
Yeah, it got in all the equipment and everything when we got it back and unboxed it all. Well, there was loads. But it was good to see. I credit where credit's due. It was all biodegradable stuff. So it was, you know.
How did you degrade it then? Did you just chuck it away?
Well, it's paper, I mean.
Oh, okay, fine. That's fine.
So I had some of those. Talking of that kind of thing, I mean, you know how pro, like, LGBT people are on like, you know, sustainability and environmental thing. I had a package come through the other day that had those little, they're normally like styrofoam packing things that protect whatever's in it. And it said, I'm made from potato starch. You can put me in the sink.
Yeah.
So you put it in the sink and turn the tap on, and they just dissolve and disappear.
That's
my God.
Yes, we're trying to save the planet one little squidgy thing at a time.
One little squidgy thing.
Not talking about you, Andy.
Thanks.
Gone red. Sure.
Anyway, Terry, should we get some news headlines?
Why not? This is Shoutout News. Welcome along. The Australian gay news channel Q News reports that a transgender woman in the East African nation of Kenya has won a landmark court victory in which the judge not only ruled in her favour, but ordered the government to pass a Transgender Protection Rights Act. SC, as she's known, was assigned male at birth, but had been living as female since her childhood, and had obtained official documents including a birth certificate and passport with female sex markers whilst living in another country where she had also competed in women's athletics. Despite that, she was arrested by the Kenyan police on charges of impersonation in the June of 2019 whilst visiting the MOI Teaching and Referral Hospital. SC was remanded to a women's prison where she was strip-searched, and a court then ordered that she be subject to a gender determination during which she was subject to a genital examination, hormone testing, blood sampling and radiological testing. Following this, her medical records were leaked to the media. Well, SC sued the Kenya Prison Service and the hospital with the support of the Kenyan rights group's Transgender Education and Advocacy, known as TIA, arguing that her treatment by authorities was unconstitutional under the law. Justice R. Nyakundi of the Eldoret High Court awarded SC 1 million Kenyan shillings in damages and found that SC's rights to dignity, privacy and freedom from inhuman and degrading treatment had been violated. Jin Siangu, a Kenyan intersex, transgender and gender non-conforming rights group, told the South African Mamba Online that the win was historic, not just for Kenya, but for the whole African continent. Out magazine says that as a black, gender non-conformist gay man, the rapper Lil Nas X is being threatened by a US police service that often oversteps its authority where it comes to African Americans. The singer, whose real name is Montero Hill, was arrested in the early hours of August the 21st after several people called the police to report that a naked man was walking in the middle of the street in the Studio City area of Los Angeles. Lil Nas X has been been charged with four felonies, three counts of battery on an officer, and one count of resisting arrest. If convicted, he could face serious prison time. Black people are more likely to have police involvement in their admissions to hospital and more likely to be detained and to receive secure care. They are more likely to be diagnosed with schizophrenia and more likely to be given higher doses of medication. They are less likely to receive psychotherapy, wrote Dr. Nguyen Dissanayake in her post for the Centre for Mental Health, which is a UK-based non-profit organisation, commenting on the case. New Age LGBTQIA+ organisation, the Fairies of Albion, report on a number of events coming up in the near future. In particular, they say, at the Queer Spirit Warriors Weekend, which runs from September the 11th to the 14th, they will meet under a Gemini moon to learn about the history of and affirm the spiritual queer roles as healers, ritual gatekeepers and walkers between the worlds. They will honour the memory of queer shamans and priests in service to spirit and explore what this inheritance means for them in the world today, as they now learn how gender and sexuality were regarded in African, Asian and Native American wisdom traditions and dive into the queerness of the pre-Christian European pagan past. For email inquiries about this event, you can email meditation@queerspirit.net. The left-wing weekly Socialist Worker says that anti-fascists need to unite on the 13th of September, editorialising, "The fascist Tommy Robinson is planning a carnival of reaction on the streets of London on the 13th of September. The former organiser for the English Defence League has invited Donald Trump's former adviser Steve Bannon to what he calls a free speech festival. The anti-woke activist Jordan Peterson and racist Katie Hopkins are also invited. He wants to rally tens of thousands of his thugs. They say Stand Up to Racism's national counter-protest against Robinson on the 13th will be crucial to showing the far right that their racist ideology is not the norm." And on a similar subject, anti-racism campaigners Hope Not Hate report that last weekend, towns and cities across England were suddenly covered in St George's crosses as well as Union flags. Indeed, the sprouting of flags was covered by BBC local television news and ITV local regions on Wednesday. On the surface, it looks like patriotism, but Hope Not Hate say that their research shows that this so-called Operation Raise the Colours is being organised by hardened far-right activists, Tommy Robinson allies and the Britain First Party, and apparently they know exactly what they are doing. Hope Not Hate say, "Whilst there is nothing wrong with flying your national flag, for many these flags don't read pride, they read provocation, a reminder of the National Front of the 1970s, of racist mobs and of intimidation. Already this weekend, racist graffiti and abuse has accompanied the wave of flags." And Nigel Farage has fanned the flames further, standing in front of a giant flag to announce Reform UK's plans for mass deportations. "Last year, in the aftermath of racist riots, we saw the best of Britain's community spirit," they said. "Hours after bricks were thrown, locals rallied round with brushes and buckets. Neighbours came together, including in Bristol's Old Market, to clean the streets, and people chose solidarity over fear. We need that same spirit again, to show that the real Britain is one where families and neighbours look out for each other. Nurses, farmers, teachers and bin workers. It's kindness, fairness and community, and that is worth defending." You can download a Hold On to Hope poster for your window, and together we can show that hope will always eclipse hate. If you'd like to download a poster, go to hopenothate.org.uk. And finally, Gaiety magazine celebrates 10 years of the non-profit-making, artist-driven and very LGBT plus friendly nude photography platform Pineapple. Pineapple showcases art, some explicit, some erotic, most nude, prioritising the individuality and vision of its contributors, but not necessarily the naked bodies themselves. Now, nearly 10 years later, Pineapple continues to grow, and now, to commemorate the occasion, founder Ben is releasing a double edition physical book featuring 22 contributors. To support Ben, check out Pineapple online, where you can see curated collections of some of their his favourite artists, buy past zines, or own your own copy of the double edition anniversary edition, which is available in LGBTQIA+ bookshops everywhere. You can also see Ben's personal erotic work on Sweet Alone, or follow him on Instagram. Well, don't forget to stay connected with LGBTQIA+ news through the week, through magazines, podcasts and community radio. And why not join us every Thursday at shoutoutradio.lgbt. For Shoutout News, this has been Terry Starr.
Shoutout News.
National and international LGBT news for you.
For more information about Shoutout Radio, visit us online at shoutoutradio.lgbt.
Shoutout.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shoutout Podcast.
After a critically acclaimed off-Broadway run, Love Quirks, a new musical, is making its long-awaited UK debut at the Other Palace Studio in London this autumn. I'm joined by TikTok and musical theatre sensation Lewis Bear Brown. Welcome to Shoutout.
Hello! How are you?
I'm okay, my love. Now, before we crack into what you're up to now, what was your childhood growing up? Always into theatre and school plays?
Do you know what? It's really weird. I was quite bookish when I was little. I was quite good at school, I'm not going to lie. So I'd always done drama and I'd always done performing, but I went to a school, and you know, each kind of secondary school has its own like speciality. So it'll be like, this school's a sports school, that kind of thing. Mine was language. So I did Japanese and I just fell in love with Japanese. I really wanted to go into do Japanese. So after that, I then started to get really interested in psychology. So I was like, do I do psychology or Japanese? But I'd always done drama in the background. So I was like, and then as I got into sixth form and I started to do my A-levels, I was like, do you know what? I even though I'm quite like academic and bookish, I'm more creative. I can't, like, I think I'm a bit too ADHD. I'm a bit too flighty. So I had to do, I was like, do you know what? I'm going to audition for Erdang Academy in London. And if I don't get into that, I'll do Japanese. So it was a bit of like a reverse. Normally you have your backup and then you've got your performing, but it was a bit the other way around. So yeah. And then got into drama school. And then I was just like, no, this is exactly what I wanted. This is fine. I'm on the right track.
So what about the TikTok? How did you get into that? Because you're quite big on that platform, aren't you?
What can I say? Yeah, no. It started in lockdown. I started to do, so I'd never really seen anyone with, like, I'd seen all comedy videos, but I'd never seen anyone doing like tap or musical theatre. So I was like, you know what? I just had this idea where I'm going to get a really trending sound and do it in like, with my tap shoes on. And then I started making this like TikTok the musical. And then I just woke up the next day and it was to like millions. And I was like, I actually need to like do this as a real thing now. Like, I actually have to put some time and effort into it. And then, yeah, it just blew up. And then 500,000 followers later, I was like, right, okay, this is an actual career that I can start to monetize. Do you know what I mean?
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Right. So let's go on to what you're doing now and the theatre production. Was it you came up with the idea for this?
Oh, no. So this, it's just come back from Broadway, I believe. It's won loads of awards. And I went through the audition process for Love Quirks. Mm-hmm. And I just, because they always say to you, like, if you think that kind of, if you think you're going to get something, if you think you're going to get a job, it normally you're not going to get it. So I just carried on auditioning and I was getting through rounds and I thought, no, do you know what? It's one of those where you think you've got it and they'll turn around and say, no, sorry, you've gone with someone else. And then, yeah, just got the call. And it's just been crazy because I'd just come back from doing Pretty Woman. So I thought, it's going to be a big gap now until doing like my next contract. But yeah, it's just Yeah, I'm really excited. I'm nervous.
I bet you are. Yeah, but isn't that a good thing sometimes, Lewis, isn't it, when you're a bit nervous?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I think it's going to push me to kind of create something new and fun for people. Mm. And I think the adrenaline makes you a bit more, like, carefree on stage. So I think that's maybe a good thing, yeah.
Okay, tell us a little bit about the story without giving up too much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So it's a new kind of contemporary style musical. It's about it's a four-person show. It's about four people who have just, it works out that they start to live together, all four of them. And instead of it being this kind of picture perfect show and this picture perfect relationship with the kind of like boy meets girl or whatever, it's like chaos, and I kind of love the chaos about it. It's the kind of chaos of dating, the chaos of staying friends, dating a friend, then being a friend with them afterwards. So it's just kind of this, it's like this big chaotic energy that I really love.
Lovely. Is it all song and dance, or is there speaking parts?
There is a script. So it's not a kind of sung through musical. It's not like a Les Mis kind of thing. It does have scenes in it.
Okay.
It's funny. That's the main thing. It's really funny.
Do you play, all of you play multiple parts, like quick changes?
No, actually, we stick. I'm not sure whether there might be bits where we do little bits, but so far as the script, we're just ourselves and it's just four people on stage. I think that's why it's quite nerve-wracking as well, because you're the main focus. You can't rely on like multiple characters, costumes, set. It's just us four on stage and the chemistry between us.
Right. Almost out of time, Lewis. So let's crack on with where people can get tickets, how people can follow you on social media, and especially TikTok.
Yes. So on Instagram and TikTok, I am Lou Bear Brown, L-E-W, Bear like the animal and Brown like the colour. And then the show is Love Quirks at the Other Palace, and that's from the 18th of September to October 12th.
Excellent. Right, now I know what to say to theatre production. The other day I was interviewing a director for film, and I'm not sure whether that was a good luck or a break your leg, but
yeah.
All I can say to you, Lewis, is break a leg, my love.
Thank you so much.
Bye. Have a good one.
See you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.
The Shout Out Podcast.
There you go. That's called Roo.
It's giving like Biffy Clyro. Like, you know, the very like...
There's been quite a few. It's a sea shanty type.
Yeah, sea
thing,
shanty kind
it?
Of thing. Yeah. So they all like sea shanty kind of thing.
Yeah. I looked it up. We're actually a month early for National Speak Like a Pirate Day.
Oh, God, there's a Speak Like a Pirate
Day. There is, yeah. It dates back about 20 years.
Of course it does. I swear, if it exists in this world, there's a day for it.
Yeah. If you go look very carefully in your settings in Facebook, you can actually change it to be Pirate Speak.
I'm all right. Okay.
And it actually makes it really difficult to use Facebook.
I mean... Don't get me wrong, I know he's controversial, but the only pirate I really want to see at the end of my
pot of gold,
I'm trying to keep it clean, is kind of Johnny Depp from
Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, yeah, he does that absolutely brilliantly.
He does look like he smells, though. Like, he looks like he's...
I think that probably goes with the times, movie pirates, wouldn't it?
Yeah, they look like they're reek. Yeah. But I don't think
he actually did when he was filming it.
I bet he did. And get into character, method acting.
Method acting by smelling.
No. If there any time to become your character, that is it.
Yeah, it was a shame because he was found innocent in the end. By that point, the relationship with Disney was completely ruined, so I don't know if he'll ever go back.
I mean, innocent, just not proven guilty. I think,
it's what it is. You have to kind of respect the court of law. They're the ones that...
Do we?
Yeah.
Well. LGBT.
I suppose, yeah.
Courts aren't doing too well at the moment, are they?
Yeah, literally, nothing's there ever happened.
Well. Apart from the Good Lord Project, which is doing a fine fight for the trans community.
Hello. I'm getting lots of feedback from Terry.
Yeah.
No, that was such a do you delete? I feel like it's even that.
No, I was going to say, because one of the judges who came out as trans a few years ago is now on the case as well. She's suing the.
It's interesting because not everyone's agreeing with her, because she said that it was better in the 90s than it is now.
Oh, please, poppycock.
Well, I mean, the 90s were pretty grim.
That old phrase that you know, poppycock.
I remember that.
Naughties were okay.
Is she referring to things like they did? Because, I mean, they said, like, for gay men, it was better before the Wolfenden report, because it wasn't really ever spoken about. Gay men were kind of
I think in the 90s, it probably felt like we were moving forward. Now it feels like we're moving backwards. So that's why she probably means this, because it didn't feel like we were regressing. As much as we didn't have rights, it still felt like we could push for forward.
Yeah.
Now it feels like we've got the rights and lost them. But so that's probably what she means.
But technically the rights were lost when there was a trans woman that married that lord or something, and then he wanted to dissolve the marriage, so went for the you're not really a woman thing to dissolve the marriage. And that was in 1960. So this is all about class. Not just about trans, it's about class as well, I suspect.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. But I'm still think that, like, because we feel like it's regressing backwards.
I mean,
sorry,
I interrupted you. Carry on.
Okay, fine. not like you don't carry on. But that sounded so shady. I didn't even mean that. But anyway, what I was saying, I do feel
you say
like...
You nicest things.
I know. I do love you though, Andy. It's because he's got a thick skin, so I can, like, you know, throw anything at the wall. Anyway, I think that, like, it does feel like we're going backwards, but sometimes you do need to go... You don't need to go, but sometimes you are pushed backwards to launch forward, so that's kind of what I'm hoping. But you just never know.
It's always a fight, though. You can't just sit back and
that's why pride's
wait.
So important. Yeah.
That's the thing. I think we forgot, didn't we? We got comfortable. We did.
Well, I mean, it's like Nigel Farage at the moment saying if he gets in, he will take us out of the European Court of Human Rights and all
which
of that.
Which we were part of the original.
We set it up. Yeah, the Equality Act will be dissolved, and he also wants to roll back equal marriage. So he wants to annul my love for my husband.
Do you know what?
And the polls are showing.
And he's married
a
German woman.
Do you know what the craziest thing about these people are? They are married to people that they are vehemently against. And you're like, make it make sense. Like,
I don't think he's against Germans.
He's against immigration, and what a German living in this country is technically an immigrant.
I suppose.
Is Donald Trump against immigrants.
But it's profitable. Isn't it profitable to be contraire?
Yeah, contraire. Like, you know, unless...
I mean, the problem is because Reform has never been in power. They can pretty much say anything they like.
But then
they've
Labour,
got nothing to lose.
I mean, Labour came in with lots of different things, and at the moment, I'm not feeling particularly my vote was really well cast.
I think it was an awful lot better cast than who you've gone for. Conservatives.
Yeah. It was a saving cast vote, but it still feels a bit.
I mean, this is the problem, right? Like, Labour did have to, and I'm not a politician at all, so please don't take it with a pinch of salt. But like, obviously, Labour had to come in in their opinion, centre. But I thought they were going to come centre right and then swing centre left. And be like,
or just centre.
Now it's just like they jump on every bandwagon when it's like against
all
trans
politicians
people. Against
do though.
But it's Reform.
No, they don't. Jeremy Corbyn has never jumped on a trans bandwagon and being like,
of any
type. Yeah. Like
he's setting up another party.
Yeah, and that's what that gives me hope, because the thing is, what I think elitists have done is made it a two-party system.
It's so become very much like that. But I mean, in history, there have been times when Liberal Democrats have run the countries. The Whigs.
The Liberals were called the Whigs.
Yes, that's right.
That's what I mean. That's why I feel like if we in the left, banded together and actually supported Jeremy Corbyn, we could actually make a difference.
Well, I saw a report out that said about people under 30 and under are Jeremy Corbyn all the way.
Yeah, I mean, like, but yes, he's getting on, but like, I think he's
getting on.
Because a lot of people have their opinion.
Have you seen
now
that old Trump is? It
that's
stop
what I'm
him,
saying. A lot of people,
what with his bruises in the back of his hands? Well,
That's what I've been saying though. Like Trump, like people have been saying, like over a certain age you shouldn't. I'm like, I don't believe in that. I think over a certain, no, not gonna go there. But I think over a certain.
Well, that's cultural, isn't it? In this country, we think is when people age, they drop out. In other cultures, actually, age is seen as a real. Maturity.
Do you think it brings wisdom? Just what it just missed.
This is a subject
Donald
we could
Trump,
do a whole show on this, couldn't we?
And does that apply to our community as well? You know, what happens to older LGBT people?
It does. It's something that worries me. Yeah. I mean, it's like me and Carl don't have kids.
Definitely, yeah.
You know, whereas
there are community care places though.
There are, but traditionally in the family, your kids would help you as you get older. There are certain things that they just can't do that family would do.
Yeah,
you
know,
and it is something that goes through your mind when you're a gay man and you don't have kids.
And do you have to go back in the closet when you end up in an old folks home?
Yeah.
No, there is some designated LGBT
but I can't imagine.
There is only two in the UK at the moment.
Well, I better find those out then.
Anyway.
Don't worry, my kids will help you, don't worry.
That's it for this week. As always, if you've enjoyed the show, you can listen again or grab it as a podcast.
The podcast is available on iTunes, Spotify, Amazon Music, and all the good podcast platforms. Plus, you can grab it from our website.
Shoutoutradio.lgbt is where you want to head. Next week, I believe you in Steph's capable hands. She's going to be talking to Bobby Picard from Pride, you might remember.
Yeah.
From myself, from Terry, from Tara, and from Lara, goodbye, everyone.
Goodbye, gorgeous people.
Shout out.
LGBT radio for you.